we get to make wines that are going to be different every single year because of what Mother Nature throws at us.
You're really in touch with the seasons.
This is farming. Where this all starts is agriculture.
Wine is both a representation of its place and a representation of its time.
We can't control Mother Nature.
To make really fine wine, you need to do it in the old traditional way.
It was a lot funkier back then than it is now.
We're in a creative kind of business, and so this is what makes it fun.
I really love what I do. I'm happiest, I think, when I'm in the vineyard.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle. And welcome to podcast number 145.
This week we offer a special podcast recorded the final week of April. Kenneth Olsen of KK Wines Denmark hosted 7 Danish sommeliers for a week of travel and tasting in both Napa Valley and Sonoma. This recording was made at the home of Release winemaker and co-owner Henrik Poulsen, who hosted his fellow countrymen and women for dinner that evening.
That people just switched into Swedish, so yeah, sorry.
I'll find a way.
All right, I'm going to start this off. I'm at Henrik's house, Henrik Poulsen's house, and I'm here with this entire group of Danish sommeliers, and I have to say, this is a kind of a wine lover's dream to be around this many people who have amazing palates. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to run the microphone around the room, just have you say your names. Got to be careful I don't knock over any glasses.
Pernille Malik.
Julie Færk Jensen.
Søren Ledet.
John David.
Mark Nielsen.
Tobias Nielsen.
Pernille Folkersen.
I'm Kenny.
Well, first thing, welcome to Napa, and some of you, welcome back. About how many of you have been to Napa already before?
I have.
I've been here before.
Okay, so that's two have been here before, so it's all fairly new to you. What are your thoughts about Napa for your first time here?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Is it what you expected?
Well, more wine.
More wine?
Yeah.
Oh, that was our lobster pot just being turned off in the background, in case our listeners are wondering. First trip here. Have you been to America before at all?
Yes, but the other coast, so the first trip to this coast.
Is there another coast?
Oh, come on. I like New York, so...
It ain't bad.
No, it was really, really, really good.
There's a little bit of good wine there, too.
But this is more sunny, so it's nice.
Especially this time of year. Yeah. So I want to ask you a whole bunch of questions, and maybe we'll get back to more questions after dinner. But how long have you been a sommelier for, my first question?
Well, I haven't been a sommelier for a very long time, only a couple of years, too.
Love of wine, was this a passion since you were younger? Was this something that you thought was just a great career way to go?
No, I was a chef for many years, and I had an opportunity to work with people who were very passionate about wine, and they wanted to make sure that I knew both sides of the world, and suddenly I got interested in wine, and that's how it went.
Say your name before you talk, because our listeners won't know who you are.
Okay.
So, and just say your name by itself, because again, I'll put it on there.
Soren.
America.
I like how he said it.
That's not how you pronounce it normally.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Just say it normally, man.
Just say it like you normally would.
Sir.
That's a sexier way versus the other thing.
My name has a letter that doesn't exist in English.
So that's why.
So that's why it's an OE in Danish, but it's an O in English.
They kind of run together, sort of. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I've seen that on yours. Okay. I should introduce Kenneth, of course. Kenneth is leading this party. And Kenneth, how do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is Korsbeck, actually.
I never knew that, actually.
No, that's also my middle name, actually. My last name is Olsen, O-L-S-E-N.
That I did know, so you had me confused for a moment. So you're leading this merry band into Napa and Sonoma and other places. And what's the idea of this whole trip?
To sell more wines to them. That's actually the basic thing. Yeah, that's why I take them over here.
So there'll be a lot of wine drinking, I imagine, during the course of the week.
They've already started. Yeah.
Wine is too expensive.
When you're ready, say so. I missed something.
That we're in a hurry.
Okay.
He always
does. Can it clap two times? And then we're in a hurry.
Stop and do this later. Okay. We're killing small children in the background, too, in case you're hearing that. So, okay, we'll come back. I'm not going to forget the rest of you. Thank you.
Excellent.
So we're going to do a blind tasting with the sommeliers here, and what they're going to do as they smash the plastic glasses. It's a quiet little evening here in Napa Town.
What happens when you invite Danes?
I know, it's frightening, and it's early yet, too.
It's like 4 in the morning, we like jet lag.
Yeah, I get that. We're going to do a blind tasting here, so I'm going to try and attempt to get everybody's thoughts on the wine that's being poured right now. And again, everybody remember, say your name just before you talk, just your first name, so at least our listeners can get an idea who's talking. So the wine's being poured, and we're going to pause for a moment while everybody tastes.
My name is Kenny.
No, Kenneth.
It has to be your real name.
So Kenneth? Our last name since we have the first.
So, okay, we're ready. First impression.
My first impression is that this blind tasting is going to be very interesting because right now I have no clue about what this is.
Remember your name? Søren. This is Søren speaking, and I get some very quick things. First of all, the first thing I look is I turn this wine around because I think it has too much alcohol, and the first thing I get out of the wine is a Rotondon thing, which is like a peppery thing to it, and I've only smelled the wine and just tasted it briefly, but right now I could go Northern Rhone. But
Panavica, man.
I could go Shiraz, Northern Rhone.
I can hear.
But I'm not done.
The words that you're using.
I'm not done. I get the Rotondon, which is the peppery thing, and that's usually what does it for me. And the low alcohol does it for me. But I'm not done. I'm gonna go deeper into this wine.
Possibly thinking this might have more sun than Northern Rhone, or are we European?
We're European. Julie, I think we're European.
It has this like pencil, I don't know what's called in English, but inside a pencil, pencil shavings. And you have this like purple color into it, and for me that's very typical cold Shiraz. Shiraz.
And you feel the tannins, which they're grabby and they're harsh. So.
And it has the olive on the flavor as well. It's hard for me to take it anywhere else but Northern Rhone. But that's just what I feel right now.
But it's also quite like balanced in flavors. Often when I'm feeling I'm tasting the Rhone values, Northern, Shiraz, and I don't know if just because I'm drinking too young or is I'm unlucky or what, but this one seemed very easy, well balanced actually. It's not like it's peaking in.
I used to drinking Cote Rôtis, I used to drinking Cornas, or used to drinking Hermitage,
I don't feel like this is not a Vin Nature producer. I don't feel that it's a conventional producer because it's somewhere between for me.
But perhaps you should try and explain a little bit about how you get to these conclusions. What is it about the color or the aromas, or what is it that takes you to the northern part of Rhone? And what is it that takes you to these grape varieties that you're talking about?
Yeah, of course the grape variety and the style give it this, for me, this purple. If you look in the color, you have like a kind of, you're going from deep dark in the middle and you go on to like more easy purple, and end up light in the end of the rind actually for me, and you end up light purple rind, and my experience is that you're going for this pencil note again. I don't know why I'm keep going back to the pencil lid, but it's that's what I feel. And when I taste wines like Dade Ribot, it's very extreme for me. I have this pencil note, but I'm not in that direction. I'm more yeah, and I'm Gros Hermitage. Actually,
yeah,
Hermitage.
I'm also because I don't get the Viognier impact on this wine.
Yeah.
I'm missing some of the spiciness to it, yeah. But I also feel that it's hard for me to place it in Cornas because that's 100% Syrah. I feel like Hermitage or Gros Hermitage could be good because I feel that there's an impact of something else, maybe Rosana Massin. The color I don't think too much about. When I place it in the Northern Rhone, it's basically the low alcohol, the lower alcohol. I think it's probably between 12 or 12 and a half at the maximum. That places me, if I had to be in the Rhone Valley, in the Northern Rhone Valley. And then for me, that combination between red and blue fruit and Rotondon, which is that peppery note, places me in that region.
We all agree with Sam.
But it's fun if you go for the Hermitage region. So what like if we quite agree about the Hermitage region,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
the Hermitage or Hermitage is quite. But would you go for like a producer as Gigal, or would you go for Paul Chabotier, or would you go for?
I would probably go in more. Well,
I would say no to Gigal because I need more structure, and I mean, for me, I would need.
I think that's dependable on the vintage.
Yeah, because
this is. I mean, I've tasted young Gigal. That's
it could be like this. It seems a bit young
more
though.
Fruit driven than structure driven.
And it seems young.
I think that's a vintage thing. Yeah. I think this could easily be 2012.
Yeah, because it seems young. Yeah.
But okay, now we have been. It's quite fun to go like back.
Hermitage. I think more it's Hermitage than Gros Hermitage.
Can we compare it to somewhere else in the world? Should we say Hermitage or should we like? Could this be Shiraz from Australia with very cold climate?
Well, you wouldn't really make Shiraz in Australia in cold climate, would you?
I think you could. But the thing is that we need to think about when we blind taste, we're thinking about benchmark.
Yeah, of course.
But is this a benchmark Australian Shiraz? No. Not in my opinion.
No. But we are, of course, we need to go for
really learn French. We could really learn French as well.
We not should pick these wines out. It's
I'm pretty certain that this is Northern Rhone Syrah.
That's my final answer. Yeah.
Final answer.
I'm guessing 2000. The thing is, I'm hovering between 2011 and 2012. I think it's that young.
Yeah, because you can literally see it's almost transparent in the
but
side.
But I'm going with 12. I think it's really that.
Yeah, it's young.
This is Hermitage from Dade Ribot in 2010. There's a big difference. No, but there's a big difference from his Gros Hermitage to his Hermitage. His Hermitage is more controlled, more balanced than his Gros Hermitage. That's my final guess.
I'm loving your poker face.
Okay, the producer you named, actually I really wanted to bring him, but he doesn't stabilizes his bottles enough to bring them overseas. So I had to pick another producer who was a bit more conventional. So I picked Chemi. And the vintage is a 2011 and it's not a Hermitage. It's a cut roti.
Wow.
Nice wine.
Nice.
Great.
Really close. No. Really, yeah, it was a good guess. Really close.
You would have gained the points.
You passed. You passed.
It's the first time I taste Chamay, and I'm really excited because it's the first time. It's the first time I taste Chamay.
This is the end of part one of podcast number 145. To download part two, visit iTunes or lifebetweenthevines.com.